Joseph.
Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. This show is a special edition podcast about the Keys 100 Ultra Marathon.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
All right, hello. This is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. And on this show, I've got Mandy Miller on an interview, and we're going to talk about the Keys 100, which is an ultra marathon in the Florida Keys. Hey, Mandy, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
All right, we got all the technical stuff worked out here. And just to let everybody know a little bit about Mandy, she's an accomplished athlete and triathlete and an ultra runner, but she started much like just the regular people out there. In the early 80s, Mandy, her weight had gotten to the point where she was almost 200 pounds, and she decided it was time for a change. And one lap at a time at her local track, she changed her lifestyle and eating habits and lost a lot of weight in just a couple months and never looked back. So, and in the meantime, she has done some remarkable events. She has been involved in one way or the other in all the Keys 100 events. And in, don't know exactly what year, but she was the third female overall in the Keys 50. She's completed the six-stage ultra marathon stage race across the Sahara, which is the marathon disables. She's completed 8 Ironman triathlon races, including Hawaii. She was the first female masters in 2004 at the USAT National Champion Long Course, which is an Ironman distance. She's run too many marathons to remember. Sounds like Boston being her favorite. And she has participated in lots of relays, and including the Hood to Coast, which is coming out in a movie this coming Tuesday, or January 11th, depending on when you're listening to the show. Mandy's not in that movie, but nevertheless, she's done that race, and she's certified in coaching by the Roadrunners Club of America and USA Triathlon. And one of Mandy's most recent accomplishments is she ran the Peanut Island 24 endurance race. She participated in the 6-hour race and got first place for women with a cool 32.482 miles in 6 hours. And so, Mandy, wow, that's a whole lot of accomplishments. I'm lucky I got you on the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's a goodly number of years, so it took a while to get there, but it's all been fun. I certainly can't complain.
Well, I'm really glad that we got together and to do the interview and talk about the race. And for anybody out there that wants to learn more about Mandy and got lots of articles about ultra running, and go to ultrasformortals.com. And I'll have a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com for that. It's ULTRAS, the number 4, then mortals, MORTALS.com. And I have to say that the idea for interviewing Mandy about the Keys 100 started in an email from her when she came across the podcast and said she was a new listener and had just heard that I was putting out a call for anyone that knew anything about the Keys 100 because I was interested in learning more about that race to possibly participate in it. And that's how Mandy and I hooked up. So that was pretty cool. I hope you still listen to the podcast. I know you'll probably listen to this one.
I think I'm caught up now. I usually listen to them when I'm out running, so save them up for then.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. Well, let's get into talking about the Keys 100. And for anybody out there that does not know what the Keys 100 is, it's a 100-mile ultra marathon that starts in Key Largo and goes to Key West on Route 1. And it also has a 50-mile option that starts at the halfway point. And And as a runner myself, that was the I'm more interested in the 50. But as the whole, as the event as a whole includes the 100 miler, which is brings different types of folks down there. So, man, let me ask you, the race director, whose name is Bob Becker, from what I've learned, looked at through some of his websites, looks like he directs a lot more than just the Keys 100. And what else does he direct, and what seems to make his races so successful? I know you're personal friends with him.
So I will say that as full disclosure, I wouldn't have been on the podcast if I was going to say nasty things about him. Probably would have just kept that to myself. But he is a longtime personal friend of mine. But I'm also a longtime athlete, and I know how much attention and dedication and sacrifice and also monetary sacrifice it takes to participate in endurance events. And so I really appreciate, you know, the attention that Bob gives to his races, and he has more than one event. And just as a little aside, for the Keys, there's also a relay race, which is hugely attended and very popular, and it's a 100-mile relay race from Key Largo to Key West, a six-man team usually, and it's you choose your own legs. They're not pre-programmed, so there's a lot of strategy to that race if you're interested in doing relays. And we've had some pretty spectacular relay teams who were just faster than all get out over the last couple years, and then some teams that took almost the full amount of time. So it brings in everyone. So, you know, there's the 100 miles individual, there's the 50 mile individual, and there's the 100 mile relay, and they're all going on at the same time, which makes the course really fun, really interesting. So all in all, a good three events. To answer your question about Bob, yeah, we are personal friends, but I'm not saying all these nice things just because he's my friend. I'm saying all these nice things because I'm a competitor, and I really appreciate his races. I'm usually just happy to be out there, so I'm not particularly hard on race directors, but I do know good races from bad races, and Bob's races are really great. He has three races that he puts on the Keys. He has another race about 7 weeks before in Florida called The Palm, and there's a 100-mile relay from Fort Lauderdale to West Palm Beach and back in Florida. Again, the concept of it's a do-it-as-you-want relay, so you can pre-program your own relay team. He has a 50K individual in The Palm and a 100K this year individual race. So the 50K goes north to south from Palm Beach down to Fort Lauderdale, and the 100K goes, let me see, it goes from Fort Lauderdale up to, it's actually Manalapan in South Palm Beach and back. So there's three races going on at the same time there. And then his third race, which just happened on New Year's Eve, is a sort of a derivative of the Across the Years formula race on New Year's Eve. A timed race, so he had a 6-hour, a 12-hour, and a 24-hour, and his race takes place on an island in just off of West Palm Beach, Florida, called Peanut Island, and it's just this beautiful little tropical island with a footpath all around it, and it's 1.234 miles around, and of course, it's a timed race, so it's however many miles you make in whatever race you're in, 6, 12, or 24. And this was his inaugural Peanut Island, and it was very well attended, and it really was quite spectacular. You could camp out on the island, bring family, you could bring dogs. It was just a really very, very pleasant and very professional race, and his wife cooked everything up on her own with some help, and we had great food the whole time we were out there. We had great company. And we had incredible views of the Intracoastal and the Atlantic, and the weather cooperated, so it really was quite spectacular. And what really defines all three of Bob's races, I think, is his particular attention to detail. He likes everything to be a good experience, the supreme experience for the runner. That means anything from the packet pickup ease to how nice the logos on the shirts are to how great the awards are, always very, very unique and very much tied to the location. And it's just, he just does a good job. I mean, he is a very accomplished ultra runner himself. He's a Badwater finisher. He's a marathon to stop finisher. Yeah, Bob is a unique individual. He's a cancer survivor. So a lot of his races are done for prostate cancer. And if anybody wants to participate in fundraising, then that's an option. It's not required. I mean, it's just an aside that if it's something people want to do because that's his own personal cause. But he, you know, he's done a lot of things. I mean, he's Boston qualifier, many ultra marathons under his belt. And so he knows what it's like to go to a race and experience the race. And I think that that's what makes his races very unique, because he's looking at it from the perspective of the consumer. And he does everything he can to make that experience for the runner, the crew, and the family and friends of people who come very distinct. And I think he definitely accomplishes that. And his races are, you know, he's been doing this for 4 or 5 years now, and the races have really started to catch on, and we're getting more and more people every year. And so it's just a great experience.
Well, I know that I'm looking forward to meeting him. I registered for the Keys race just the other day. I guess I beat the price increase right before.
Yeah, I told him that. He was very amused that you made it like right before midnight.
It was. It was.
So now
probably
he's looking out
maybe
for you.
50 minutes. Yeah, I don't know what I was doing on my computer, but 50 minutes before midnight. But I know that you've been involved in the Keys race each year since it started. Whether you, and I know you've participated in it, and I think you've crewed the 100.
Mm-hmm.
What's been your participation in it each year, and are you going to participate in it this year?
Yes, this is technically the 4th official year of there being 100 and a 50. The first year, which was the unofficial year. It's actually 4 official years and then 1 preview year. It was Bob and I think 3 or 4 guys, all really accomplished runners, probably all half Bob's age, went out to try to run the course and see if this idea that Bob had for a race from Key Largo to Key West was a viable option. Bob was the only guy who finished. I was a pretty accomplished group. So that was the unofficial year. And then the next year was the first real year. And I actually got persuaded to crew that year for a person I didn't know. So how I got involved with Bob was, at this point, you know, the first year of his race, he said he was going to provide crew for everybody that came to run the 100. So that meant he had to talk to every single person he knew, every single runner, every single friend or family member, and strong-arm them into coming down there to crew for people. So the first year I got convinced to crew for somebody I didn't know who came from California, and I had found 2 of my girlfriends. And we showed up in Key Largo and met this guy we didn't know that we were going to spend 24 hours in a van with, crewing for him in his 100-mile race. Well, as it turned out, it was very successful, lifelong friends now, and it convinced me to do my first ultra. And so that's how I kind of got started in it as a crew member for a 100-mile runner. And since then, I've run the 50 twice, and I think I missed 1 year there. Oh, I did. I missed 1 year when I was in Morocco at Marathon du Sahel, but that year, no, actually, I did it that year. I missed 1 year for some reason or other, but I've been present every other year and helped Bob with some fundraising. So that's kind of how I've been involved, both as crew and as runner.
Okay, well, that's really cool. Obviously, the tropical heat in Florida in May, because the race is May 14th, and it's going to be an issue for some runners.
It's May 14th? You're kidding me. Yes, it is May 14th. It's very hot. It's usually hot. You're right.
Usually hot. What advice do you have to address the heat and the humidity? I mean, it's obviously going to be a huge issue, and I think you had mentioned in one of your emails how people underestimate that. What are some of your comments on that?
Well, obviously, you know, we think Florida is the center of the universe. So, given that, which I didn't really mention, which is really the whole thing with Bob's races, is he tries to give everyone the beauty of Florida. The race is based on, all his races are based on beautiful vistas. And, you know, with that comes the weather. And in the Keys in May, it can be cooler or it can be warmer. This year being 2010, it was a little bit cooler for the run, and there was a tailwind, which was nicer. The preceding year, it was hotter than Hades down there, and there was no wind at all, and it was really, really warm. So it can kind of vary, but guaranteed if you don't live in Florida, it's going to feel really hot and humid. I crewed at Badwater for a buddy this year, and when I came back, the first thing I said to Bob was that his race was grossly underestimated in terms of its difficulty, because I ran 40 miles at Badwater and didn't feel the heat like I did in the Keys.
Wow.
So the heat and the humidity are a living being. I mean, they're there. It's on your head. It's on your shoulders. But having said that, it's not, even though you don't live in that kind of climate, I think you can prepare for it over time, and also you can make preparations and make adjustments on race day that will certainly help mitigate the effects of the heat. There are ways to train. You can train in the sauna. If you have a sauna available to you, I suggest you go work up your time in the sauna, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Not working out in the sauna, but just sitting in there with a bottle of water and seeing how long you can tolerate it. Actually, a steam room is better if you can get in the steam room, because the sauna is dry. If you get in the steam room and just sit in there in the heat and sort of learn to deal with it in your mind, that's helpful. Sometimes that's not possible. So what I try to do for races that I can't acclimatize to necessarily, for instance, when I go from flat South Florida to a trail race, I can't train on trails because we don't have many around here, so I train on the sand. I can't train on hills, so I train really hard in the wind or on a bike in the wind. So I try to find the most aversive conditioning that I can do, and I put that stress on myself, and I find that it really transfers over. So you just find the hardest thing you can do, basically, and that helps. The steam room, the sauna, that would definitely help if you sit in there with water and just build up your time in there. On race day and moving into your race preparations, the big thing you have to remember is it's not only hot, it's incredibly humid. So that means, you know, you're really expelling a lot of perspiration. So your feet are getting wet. So you have to learn, you know, ways that you can deal with keeping your feet from getting blisters and from getting friction burns. It varies. For me, I try to keep my feet out of any water that I dump on my head or dump on my body. Try to keep your feet as dry as possible. Change your socks if you have to. Change your shoes if you have to, because you can be running through the Keys and you can hear your feet squelch. I mean, in Florida in the late spring and summer, your feet squelch in your shoes. I mean, you're sweating so much into your shoes, mean, my husband won't even let me keep my shoes, like, inside the back door. They have to go outside because it's really not pleasant. He's a very accomplished runner himself, and we try to keep our shoes out of the house because even the dogs look at them and they say, ooh, that's nasty. We're not going over there.
Got a similar issue.
Yeah, our dogs look at them, and they, when I come in the door and I take off my wet shoes and I have those stuffits, things.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I love those. And, yeah, that was like a birthday present or something. Like, what kind of marriage is it when your husband's giving you something to make your shoes smell better? But my dogs look at my shoes, and they love to run. And I come back and I take off shoes and I take them off the leash, and they look at the shoes like, no, we're not getting anywhere near those shoes. So as keeping your feet as dry as you can is really, really key. Otherwise, you know, you can end up with like trench foot just after, you know, 12 hours in wet shoes. It's not going to be very, very pleasant. So
my first 50 miler. Yeah, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Well, this is my biggest question. What the course is like. I've looked at the website. It has videos. The website is very good. It has tons of information.
Yeah.
Very good. And I try to consume all information as possible.
The course for the 50 is fabulous. The best part of the course is the 50 miler. The first part of the course, 100 miler. Fortunately, the first part of the course in 100 miler is the cooler part of the day. It's not the most beautiful. It's through Key Largo, which is a little bit built up. And so that's the beauty in the course starts where the 50 miler starts. And it really is spectacular. So my advice to anybody doing the race is commit yourself in your head. It's going to be hot. It's probably going to be hot and humid. You're probably going to have to make adjustments for that in terms of pace and time and expectations. But you really have to enjoy just what you see. So here's how the course works. The start of the 50 miler on a road. There's only one road basically in and out of the Keys. So it starts on that road on Highway 1. And it's about 3 or 4 miles to the start of this, what's called the 7 mile bridge. And that is a overseas highway. It goes for 7 miles over the ocean. So for 7 miles, you're running on a bridge that is just entirely surrounded by water, which is very unique. And when you look over the side, you can see, you know, turtles and manatees and fish, and it's shallow bottom water, so it's very blue. It's just very pretty. So the course is difficult at that point because you run those 4 miles, and then from that 7 mile bridge point, so that mile 4 until approximately mile 11, you have to be entirely self-sufficient over that bridge because your vehicles cannot stop. So you have to be ready, prepared, and you're out there at 11:30 in the morning, and it's hot. So you have to have everything you need to get you over that bridge, because if you don't have it, you're not going to get anything to get to the other side because the vehicles can't stop on the bridge. So that's just something to know. And then you get to the other side, you're about 11 miles in, and then you have it's just beautiful at that point. It's flat. There's a path. You know, some of the road is against traffic, like over the 7 mile bridge. You're running in a path and the traffic is oncoming. But it's really, it's the middle of the day. You can see everything. It's not difficult to manage at all. So you get over the bridge and then there's a lot of pathway. It leads you quite a long way down, probably until about the 25-mile point. There's various bridges. The bridges kind of hump up a little bit. You know, they're just a little rise and then a descent, but the course is entirely flat. At 25 miles, there's a halfway point for the 50 miler, which is of course the 75 mile point on the 100 miler. And just as an aside here, every single mile in the Florida Keys is marked by a mile marker. So you're going to know exactly where you are every single step along the way, every mile.
Awesome.
And it counts down. So you start at 51 on the 50 miles, and it counts down to mile marker 1, which is actually where the finish is. So you know where you are every step along the way. And likewise, for the 100 milers, they start at 101 and they go all the way down to mile marker 1. So the course is flat. It's asphalt, it's pavers, it's dirt, it's a lot of different things along the way, but it's flat. I mean, there's just no way around it. It's very flat and it's quite beautiful.
Now, it's a road ultra, and that's one of the main things that attracted me to it, because I did a road ultra a couple of years ago in Tennessee, which I really liked. It was hard, but it was I like trails, but I just like running on the road, and so I'm really excited about coming down there. Now, how does the crew system work for this ultra? You mentioned that there's rules because the runners are running through communities. And it's a highway, which is the only way in and out of the islands. And then there's an option, I think, to run unsupported, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, an unsupported option. I'm trying to close out barking dogs here. There must be a cat outside or something. My dogs are barking right now. So, you can do it with crew or you can do it without. If you do it with crew, obviously you have a van, and there are certain restrictions as to where your van can pull off, but there are many, many safe places for your vehicle to pull off to the side of the road, many. And there are many places along the way, because it's an entirely populated area, where you can get ice and anything else you need along the way, which, by the way, we can get to that later, but one of the key things for this race is just having an adequate supply of ice. So that can be had along the way also. You can do it unsupported, and Bob, the race director, had last year as his first foray into having unsupported options. And what that means is he has, I think it's not really an aid station, a support station every 10 miles. And you can get bags that will be then deposited at each aid station along the way. If you're in the 50, one every 10 miles, so 5 of those, or 10 if you're in the 100. And he provides ice and water, I think, and I think that's it. So you have to be entirely self-supported for your drink mix, your food, et cetera. It's not like a regular aid station that you would see at like a trail altar, for instance.
With all the goodies there.
You know, no grilled cheese sandwiches, no quesadillas. Basically, here's your water, here's your ice, go fix your feet. People did it last year, and it's, I don't know. Here's my thought. My own thought on this is, I think I could do it because I'm used to running in the heat and I know what it takes. But if this was my first hot weather run like this, and make no mistake about it, it is a hot weather run. I mean, I've run through the Sahara and this is a hot weather run.
Oh.
So unless you're willing to carry a pretty big pack and, you know, a camelback and have extra stuff in it, I wouldn't do it. And if you do it, you have to know how to fix your own feet. You have to know how to do first aid. You have to know a lot of stuff about hyponatremia, hypernatremia, like all the signs of stuff that it's like going skiing where you see the double black diamond. if you can't ski a double black diamond slope, don't go down it. this will not be your best race if you just come to Florida and decide that I'm going to do this race unsupported because I couldn't get anybody to come down here with me. And there are health issues. I mean, you're talking about being out there on who knows what kind of day. It could be 78 degrees. It could be 98 degrees. So that's an issue. But there is an option to do it on your own. People did it last year. Most of them were very experienced, and it was fine. In fact, there were some people in the self-supported option who finished in the top part of the race. So
wow.
I'm assuming that they knew exactly what they were doing because it got pretty warm. And then, of course, in the night, it cools down and it gets kind of lonely out there and, you know, you don't know what you're going to need. So,
well, tell me about the ice. You had mentioned ice just a few minutes ago. I'm guessing there's convenience stores or grocery
mm-hmm.
stores along the way. And
yeah.
Ice is in abundance, I reckon.
Yeah, ice is in abundance. I mean, it is the keys there. Like, for instance, just taking the 50 as an example, you start in Marathon, which is, you know, such an ironic name. Starting a marathon. And there's, of course, there's Marathon, and then there's a few towns down, Tavernier, Big Pine Key. I mean, as you move down, there's a couple of Winn-Dixies, a bunch of 7-Elevens, convenience stores, kind of like places where you can get ample supplies. My suggestion is, having done this as crew and as a runner, and my husband is usually my crew at this race, and he's my only one crew member, but I would not suggest having just one crew member if you absolutely don't have to. But he's done this enough that, you know, he's got it down to a fine art. He can listen to, you know, the Preakness on the radio and also be my crew, which is usually what happens like that weekend, which is funny. He's listening to horse racing on the radio. And
something I used to go to every year as a youth. So anyway, it's funny you
mentioned
that.
Yeah, so a couple years ago, I was listening to the Preakness and I had my head stuck in front of the air conditioner in our truck going, is this ever going to end? Can I get there? And that was actually third overall. So I guess I shouldn't complain, but there's plenty of places to get ice. What I suggest in terms of dealing with the ice, that you have three coolers, even if it's a throwaway, you know what I mean? The polystyrene coolers. Yeah. Three of those, one for clean ice, one for ice that you stick your bandana and your hat in and all of your hands, and then one with your drinks so that you have one that just goes in your bottles and that is clean, because obviously it's really hot out here, so you have to make sure that you keep everything sort of sanitary in the van. With the heat, it can get a little dodgy, so you don't want to be messing with, you know, bacteria in your food and in your drinks. So you really need like three of those polystyrene coolers to handle that. And there's plenty of places to dump out your ice and get two or three more bags and just refill. As your crew person is waiting, there's plenty of time for them just to run in and do that. It's not a big deal.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Now I want to ask you about the cutoffs. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of guy that likes to beat the cutoffs because I always get close to them. So
mm-hmm.
I know the 100 miler starts at 6 a.m. in Key
mm-hmm.
Largo, and then the 50 miler starts at 10 a.m.
Right,
50 miles down the road. So
right.
First of all, would there be any chance that I'd be lapped by a 100 miler? Do you think?
Yes,
okay.
But that's because there's some 100 milers. That will come. I mean, I guess every year I've done this, there's been, I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, Ultras for Mortals wasn't named that, you know, for no reason at all. I like to think of myself pretty much as the everyman. I'm not the elite runner yet. I've had some accomplishments, and, you know, I've certainly put in my hard work to be able to get those. But I'm not anybody who's like the fleet-footed person, so I don't want to represent that. And every year when I come to this race, it just amazes me how fast people can run in this heat. I mean, I run here all the time, and I can do pretty well in the heat. There's people out there, I think last year, I think the record is like about 16 and change at the Keys.
Oh.
And the cutoff for the 50 is 16. So the 16, I mean, the year I was third overall in the 50, I'm running down the road and I'm thinking, who's this guy blowing by me at like 15 miles for me to go? Like he hasn't done anything yet. And it was this guy that, it was amazing. Brian, I think it was Brian Krogman that year. And yeah, that's who it was. And this very elite runner, Brian Krogman, he comes running by and he looks like he hasn't run a step, and he finishes in like, I don't know, 16 or 17 hours and change. And then the next day he goes diving. And then this is the guy who did Badwater this year and just was like, you know, in the top, I think, 15 overall or something like that. I mean, just a very accomplished runner. But yeah, you'll probably get lapped. I got lapped. I thought I had a pretty good time. I got lapped. But the 16-hour cutoff for the 50 is a generous cutoff, but it's a challenging cutoff. So it's one of those things that you have to have a plan. You have to keep going. You have to know, you get your mindset on wrapped around managing the heat, pre-program your crew to help you to manage those things. And basically they do everything and you do the running. And it's not undoable. I mean, it definitely can be done from what I've heard on the podcast about your running. It can definitely be done. You just have to be strong, determined, and it's definitely doable. There's no time of wasting, but it can be done. And the 100 has a 32-hour cutoff, which is 2 hours longer than a lot of ultra 100 races. And I've seen people who, you know, have run 24, 25. Like the guy I crewed the first year, that I guess I was year two, for the 100, I think that year he was, he finished in like 25 hours. He was second overall, like 24, 25 hours. And, I mean, last year he took 31 hours to finish. It's just the difference of weather and conditions and his training and everything. He's, you know, Badwater finisher, Tour de Mont Blanc finisher, very accomplished guy. Just depends on the year. So it can be done. It's a kind of race where relentless forward motion is the absolute name of the game. You have to keep moving. So whatever happens, the real key to the race is just anticipating the heat, knowing your strategy, and keeping moving. And that's all you need to know. And you'll get there. Like it's not undoable.
Now you've mentioned several of the, you know, the folks that are some of the more elite that come down there, and it mm-hmm. seems like that. And I was obviously attracted to the generous cutoff for the 50 miler. And I looked at some of the results to kind of see where I might fall in there if I was to participate. And of course, I'm focused on coming down because I've already registered. But is it an event for regular ultra runners, people that, you know, are just regular, you know, like me, ordinary, nobody, middle of the pack?
No. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was how I did my first year there was I'd been to Morocco. And, you know, so I'd done all this training to do this Crossair race, which was the last week in March, the first week in April. And that was a whole very unique experience. And I had all this running in the back, basically. And I got that done, and I was very conservative in that race just because it was my first time out there for 7 days, all alone with a pack on my back that weighed 20 pounds and, you know, no shower, no toilet, no nothing for a week. And I was humbled by it, and, you know, I was very conservative, and I finished, and I was pretty pleased with my time, but I really felt like I didn't get to do my running. So I came back and immediately registered to go to the Keys to run in the 50. And that was the year I did really well because I'd done all this training. But having said that, I mean, I'd done my training, but I'm not an elite runner. And a bunch of my friends have come from other places to run this race that either I knew from Morocco or I've known from other races or other places. And it's definitely the race for the everyman. The course is flat. It's even. I mean, they've redone a lot of the roads in the Keys now. So from the first year to now, the surface is a lot better in a lot of the places. It definitely is something that I think the person that wants to do a road ultra can definitely come out and give a try to. I think there are probably more first-time finishers last year than ever before, and I think it has a pretty good finishing rate. I think it's hard to get to the finish, and I think that's why he kind of extends the cutoffs a little bit, because of the fact that, you know, other than those of us who live here in the year-long sauna, pretty much, we really can't expect other people to be able to deal with it the same way. But, oh, absolutely. I don't think you're going to have any problem. Having said that, you have to do your training and come prepared and know your plan and know how you're going to deal with the heat and know how you're going to deal with your feet. And it'll be fine. And one thing I forgot to mention, you're asking me about dealing with the heat, is like if you look at my website, one of the scrolling video pictures across the top is me running in the Keys. And I'm there in a sport bra and a running skirt. I won't ever do that again. That was the year I did really good, so I shouldn't complain. But having been at Badwater this year, I learned a lot more about wearing clothing that actually is protect me a little bit more and keep me cooler. So I'll always wear like a desert shirt, like, you know, a long sleeve shirt with vents. There's a couple of companies that make them so that you can wet your shirt down and then have it just try to keep you cool. I would definitely do that this time that I didn't do the last time. You know, just those little things that try to keep your body cool and vented and ventilated, I think are helpful. Like Rail Riders makes a shirt. It's that white shirt. You've probably seen it. If you look at like desert races, people are wearing these white shirts with these little Mandarin collars and a little tab on the top. That, like, is a Rail Rider shirt. Salumbra makes SPF clothing that a lot of people wear at Badwater. I've seen people in the Keys wearing actual, not only long sleeve shirts, but long sleeve pants too in the heat of the day, which looks kind of crazy, but if it's the right type of clothing, it's actually a pretty good idea, because if you can cool yourself by spraying your clothing just to keep it cool and keep you cool, that helps, I think, a lot. Last year I didn't wear a long sleeve shirt. That wasn't a very good idea, because the sun just really takes it out of you. So that's like just another little adjustment that you can make. And it seems like it's going to keep you hotter, but it really doesn't. It keeps you cooler.
Okay. Well, I know we're getting close to the end of our time allotment for the interview, but what are your closing thoughts on the race? I mean, I'm obviously looking forward to meeting you when I come down there. I mean, I'm registered. I got my training program all set and trying to follow it the best I can and to stay injury free. And of course, got, you know, some other race events in the meantime, and I'm race directing my own event here in Ashland in late April, right before we come down there.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's a 10K that's grown. It's in its 33rd year, and it's kind of, basically, it's just don't mess it up.
Well,
all the hard work's been done over the years. It's really just, you know, take over the reins and don't mess it up. But what are some of your closing thoughts on the race and why it's become something that you look forward to each year? And then obviously, I you've been very energetic, and I can just feel your energy about the race with just through communicating with you on email and by talking to you in the podcast. What are just some of your final thoughts on why people should consider it if they haven't, or at least check out the website to see what kind of a event it is?
I just think it's a good race because it's not only for the runner, it's for the family slash probably crew people that come along. I mean, a lot of people bring their family. There's tons of stuff to do in the Keys. You can do it cheap. You can do it Tony. You can do it super expensive. There's all kinds of things to do there. There's all kind of nature stuff there. Like if you have kids, you know, there's the Theater of the Sea. It has sea lions. You could swim with the dolphin. There's a dolphin research center. If your kids are really into science, you can, you know, go look at the dolphin research. There's a wildlife bird sanctuary where you can go look at birds. And there's just stuff for family members in addition to just sitting on, you know, the beautiful ocean or at the Gulf side and, you know, listen to pseudo Jimmy Buffett music. And, you know, it's just very relaxing. And I think Bob Becker really puts on a really, you know, Tony event. I mean, it's nice. Everything he tries to think about, everything for the runners, the family members. He's very responsive to runners' needs. He's very on top of it on race day. So that's kind of like why I think the race is sort of great overall. I think it's great. For at the runner's perspective, like for me as a competitor, for anybody else, because it is a super big challenge. I mean, if you can finish in the Keys and you can do it standing on two legs and conscious, and you can get over that finish line and say, yeah, you know, I did it. It's not an easy race. It's an accomplishment, and it's deceptively hard. So I think that for the runner, that's the real achievement. It is not an easy event. It's not something that you can mail in. Done a lot of races, been a lot of places, and this is really, you know, it's a challenge, but it's a doable challenge with some planning, and it's an enjoyable experience. And I think, you know, that coupled with just how absolutely fabulous the terrain is and what a joy it is to get to Key West. And Bob puts on a great after party awards event, and you can, you know, treat your family and friends to that. And has a good ethos about it. It's really fun, and then just enjoy the Keys. I mean, I live in Fort Lauderdale. I live 90 miles north of Key Largo, and every time I get across that bridge to Key Largo, I think I've just moved into a tropical paradise. I mean, if I had extra money in my bank account, I'd buy a place down in the Keys, and I probably wouldn't take many vacations to other places just because, you know, it just is different.
Well, I definitely look forward to getting down there and checking it out. I've been to Florida, but not the Keys, and we're going to come down a little early and make a little mini vacation of it.
Yeah, it'd be great. I think just one thing, if I could just say one more thing,
sure.
And I sort of made it in my notes here that, you know, there's always with ultra runners, as you know, this issue about nutrition and obviously with the Keys, there's the hydration issues and, you know, how do you manage all of that? And the one thing I kind of want to point out is, you know, nutrition's obviously big. You have to get your calories in. You have to figure out, you know, what it is that you can tolerate and get in. But particularly with the load of the heat, you really have to figure out your pacing properly. If you can get in the calories you need while pacing properly on the first half of the race, probably going to be good for you. You know, nobody really is like super big on the last third of the race of getting in too many calories. I know how hard that gets on your stomach, but, you know, just remember that pacing in the heat is very important, and that is something you have to take into consideration in terms of calculating how many calories you're going to need, because, you know, what happens in the heat, because you have to sweat so much, is a lot of the blood comes to the surface to help you sweat, and it's not going to your stomach to help you process food. So just be very judicious about, you know, overloading your body with too many calories. and also don't overload your body with too much water without taking in enough salt.
Okay, that's right. Well, that's some really good information, and of course, I've got I could do a whole part two. Maybe we should of information. Because I have questions about the after race party, but we can do that off the podcast.
Yeah,
anyway,
order the top shelf tequila. That's my only that's my only suggestion on that.
That's the real information is what you do outside of the running.
Yeah, right.
Well, Manny, I really do want to thank you for sharing your time with providing information on the Keys 100 race, and I want to let all the listeners out there know that you can get information on the Keys Ultra Marathon at keys100.com, and Mandy's website is
ultras for mortals.com, and also I think there's a contact us thing there, and if anybody has any questions or whatever, I'm glad to reply to that, and not a problem, just send an email to that. Or if you actually register on the site, then you can just communicate with me through the site.
And there's also some great articles on there for if you're considering trying an ultra marathon, there's lots of different distances for that. So, Mandy, just hang on a second. I'll the call here. But anyway, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
2011 Ashland Railroad Run. Come race the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 30th for the 33rd annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. This race is one of Virginia's first eco-friendly races and the area's longest running 10K race. This race features a flat certified course along the tracks, which is great for setting a PR. This event also features some of the best and most unique door prizes of any race around the Richmond, Virginia area. Be sure to come to the center of the universe on April 30th and race the rail. For more information, go to hannaforarts.org or email ashlanddave@gmail.com. I ran the kids' race last year, and it was fun. Run Ashland first. See you there.